Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Apostle Emmett Overton. It's now 8:34. Got some information before we allow Pastor John Durton to bring forth the Word of God. Jermaine Edwards live in concert promoted by Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Jermaine Edwards will be performing live in Mandeville, Jamaica. Live. Jermaine Edwards live at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. For the details on Jermaine Edwards, will be coming forth in the next 1 to 2 weeks. Before we let Pastor Overton, Pastor Durton bring the word, we want to give you a brief background of Jermaine Edwards and one song for his promotion tour that will be produced by Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Financial contributions will be made done by Live Deliverance Internet Radio. This is our first promotion for a concert. We've been on air 4 years. The organization of that concert will be Apostle Candace Durden. All benefits will go to Live Deliverance Internet Radio and staff and Jermaine Edwards. So, without further ado, we have one song of Jermaine Edwards.
Tell you about the man that died for me, paid it all in me, died on Calvary. Wonder why he would have really loved me. Not only that, he turned around and gave me mercy. I know everybody out there can testify to this. If it wasn't for the love, he wouldn't exist. I want to call his name every minute, every second, every hour. When you're weak, strong, sing Jesus, there's power in the name of
Jesus,
there's strength in the name of
Jesus,
there's healing in the name of
Jesus,
oh,
Jesus,
oh.
Jesus,
there's joy in the name of
Jesus,
there's peace in the name of
Jesus,
there's love in the name of
Jesus.
My Jesus Christ, he did for you and you. But there's a secret that I know my Father cannot do. He makes the flowers bloom, turn morning into noon. He gave our body nerves that we can feel his every move. I know my God's alive, look into the blue sky. It's just a miracle how we survive. But Lord, I know I serve you, Lord, till the day I die. Father God, I will forever power in the name of
Jesus,
healing in the name of
Jesus,
deliverance in the name of
Jesus,
yeah,
Jesus,
yeah, this strength in the name of
Jesus,
this joy in the name of hospital room.
Jesus.
Yeah, just saying you're not gonna make it, but if you just call the name
of
He's the healer, He's the doctor,
Jesus.
He's the deliverer. Just call the name of
Jesus.
You remember when you have someone in the party that you call the name of? You believe by faith that He will provide the cause, He's Jehovah Jireh. Anywhere you are right now, you could be driving in your car. Just shout the name.
Jesus.
Oh, oh, oh,
Yes, sir, Reverend Tilberton. Uh-huh. Okay, Brother John?
Yes.
Dr. Tilberton, Dr. Leroy Hawkins and Tilberton, Wilmore Montgomery, Dr. Schuster says, do you mind if he can hear another song of Jermaine Edwards? They said they never heard of him and they liked it.
Cool. No problem.
Okay, our last one, Jermaine Edwards.
So many roads right there before me. Looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward, but lost instead because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, 'cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money. It's better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knee, I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. I feel free.
Bob one. Mess that up.
I feel free.
Cancer.
When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free, feel free, I feel free.
Hey, Jermaine, pass in that water, man.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. The studio hot, man.
Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sing, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting again. I'm walking away, and I'm not looking back. Bowing down on my knees, begging you to help me. I'm nobody. When you're in my life, look on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, Jesus. When you're in my life, I'm on my knees. Today is a day of smile. Cause today I got a new lease on life. Today I became wise. Cause I realized I was wasting time. Spent many years living on the surface. Never took the time to go deeper in your service. I know the problem wasn't you, it was me. Every day living my life, trying to be my Jesus. But today now became your day. Because my plan became your way. Jesus, your attention is now my faith. Every other thing became vain. Jesus, you're the reason why I sing this song. God, you are the best. Your love and faithfulness, you come in my defense. In you I'm confident. Your grace is sufficient through dangers and distress.
All right, gave you a little taste of Jermaine Edwards live Deliverance Internet Radio. We'll be promoting it under the authority and under the arrangement and the accountability and the marketing of Apostle Candace Durden. All proceeds will be with staff members and Jermaine Edwards, $25 per ticket, prepaid tickets in advance, and also on YouTube concert. Okay, without further ado, Chaplain John Durden from Live Deliverance Net Radio is going to be bringing the Minister of Deliverance, Dr. Thurgood Montgomery. Thank you for texting and emailing in and out. And without any further ado, for the next 1 hour and 43 minutes, you will not hear my voice. When he get through and he say amen, that's it. And email me your questions and comments. Chaplain Durden, you got 1 hour and 42 minutes, and we turn it all over to you.
Amen. Appreciate you, brother. God bless you. And thanks for having me to do this on Deliverance tonight. Appreciate it. The more I teach it, the more I learn it. It's a different story each time, but God bless you. Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John Durden speaking. You speaking to an 80-year-old man who never thought I'd be speaking on teaching on demonology and spiritual warfare. I thought I'd be with the Lord by the time I got this age. But God has a plan for each one of us. In Jeremiah 29:11-12, he said, don't you know? You have a plan for your life, plan not of calamity or problems, but a plan to give you a future and a hope. And when you come to me with all your heart, and I will reveal that particular plan to you. So I just thank God. Before I do, though, let us go to the Lord in prayer, okay? Our Father, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, and wisdom, and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. And may our minds, that is the listeners, dear Lord, be clear and alert, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit, move in such power, dear Father, and every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord's Redeemer and my Redeemer. I pray that your words bring salvation and bring healing and bring deliverance to all here in your presence today. In the name of your divine Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And when I deal with demonology and deal with spiritual aspects, demon spirits, I always say a prayer regarding spiritual warfare when I'm going into teaching or going to minister to those who got demons in them and need exorcism. And here it goes like this. It says, Father, I am thankful for your mighty armor you have provided for me, so that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I therefore put on the following, Father God, the helmet of salvation, which is to protect and guard my mind and my thoughts. And I also put on the breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart, that I may maintain a right relationship with God and my fellow man. I put on the girdle of truth, that I may avoid every form of dishonesty or compromise. And I put on the shoes with the preparation of the gospel, Father God, that I may be ready to present, defend the gospel to the unbeliever. I put on the shield of faith to cover my total personality, spirit, soul, and body. And I put on the sword of spirits, which is the word of God, and the weapon of all prayer. That must be prayed in the spirit. And I say, pray in the spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. And I confess, no weapon formed against me will succeed, nor prosper. And I have been given authority, Father God, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, I mean nothing, shall harm me. In the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen and amen and amen. Like I said, the night session is going to be on demonology. And my particular subject is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. I'm going to compare both in all respects. How they made up, who's in there, who gets in there, who don't get in there, and these kinds of things. So I want to read three scriptures dealing with spiritual warfare. And then get my Bible here. The first one comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And it reads as follows. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over the unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. The next verse comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 23 through 28. And it reads as follows. Then there was a man in their synagogue or church with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what business do we have here with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. Throwing him into the convulsion, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice and came out of him. Right there in the church, folks. The next verse comes from Mark. Scripture comes from Mark 16. Verses 15 through 17, it reads as follows. And he said to them, speaking about Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have, what? Believe. In my name, cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And then one more come from Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Thank you, Lord. 6th chapter, verses 10 and 12. 6 and 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 10. Let me turn to verse 10. 10, okay, 10, all right. It talks about the arm of God. In other words, when we're going into spiritual warfare, you can't fight spiritual beings like we fight human beings, like we go against Russia, China, or Japan, or anything like that. You have to be, your warfare is the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is found in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talking about the gift of healing, gift of tongue, interpretation of tongue, the gift of worship, and so forth. You list all the different types of gifts that we use. We use spiritual instruments. We don't use manly, like guns and pistols and switches and knives and all these other kind of stuff. It's a spiritual warfare fight. We can't harm a spiritual being with human weapons. So he says this, the arm of God, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full arm of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil, the tricks of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, y'all. That's what it says. Because you can forget those guns and sticks and brooms and all that stuff. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, the full arm of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. And stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen to the reading of the word of God. I think a lot of you knew that my presentation was going to be on spiritual warfare. And I looked at it and I said, but just saying the kingdom of God, I said, no, I want to show a comparison. The teaching is going to be on the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan. And what I plan to do is sort of like separate out, and what I'm going to do is really discuss, let's see, I'll give you a little outline. I got the organization of God and Satan. I'm going to tell you how the organization is set up. I'm going to talk about the attributes of the demons versus the attributes of angels. I'm going to discuss kinds and functions they serve, how demons gain control, how angels execute God's will, and the nature of both kingdoms. When I say the nature, I'm talking about the characteristics of the people, who's in there, who's in heaven, who's in hell, how you get in hell, how you get in heaven, the faith of those who in hell, the faith of those who in heaven, the characteristics and the duties of each one in their respective areas. Okay. I'll start off, since we know about angels, I'll just summarize it. I can just talk about that just for a couple of seconds, because we all know angels. First of all, angels execute God's will. I want you to remember now, angels mean messenger, and in different circumstances can refer to both humans and other unique creatures of God. And an angel may be one of the sons of God, they're called, which are messengers of God. By nature, angels are spiritual beings. And although we have limited knowledge of angels, there are several things we do know and about them. And I want to share that with you, because, I mean, there was a billion things I could have found, but I just want to limit things because I only got, you know, about an hour and a half. So number one, talking about angels, then we'll talk about the attributes of demons. Angels, their nature is superior to human nature. We know that. That's found in Hebrew chapter 2, verse 7. Angels are smarter than mankind. Two, they have superhuman power and knowledge. We all know that. They are created beings. We know that. They can talk, they eat, and they fellowship with each other, and they sometimes act as aids to mankind. They can take charge in the affairs of people. They are not to be worshipped, because angels told in the Bible, hey, I'm just like you, above in the Lord, and don't be worshipping me. Don't get me upset now. They are not to be worshipped. They will be judged by the saints, and that's something. I still find that amazing. The Bible says, someday we're going to be judging angels, but it's not just the natural we. It's going to be holy we, righteous we, those who are saved, children of God, not every human being. Just those who are righteous and making it into the kingdom will be able to judge angels. Angels are not to be worshipped. They will be judged by, like I said, the saints, us, and they come in large companies. They are good. Some are bad. You find about that. Some angels are bad, but angels now, you know, are demons. And there are different kinds of angels. You got some are seraphims, some are cherubims, angels, and so forth. And then you have those big-time rulers. You got some called rulers. Some angels are called authorities. Some angels are called powers of this dark world. Some are called spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then we all know Michael and his angel, the dragon. And that is just a little quick review about angels. Now I want to share about our foes, the devil. Now, before being cast out of heaven, demons had what? Had the same attributes of the good angels. Well, we all know that. But just because they turned to demons, that don't mean they lost all their sense and their knowledge and everything else. No, they still have it. Let me give you a little short spill on the attributes of demons. Number one, they are spirits, and they can speak, and they believe. They know Jesus, but they're going to teach false doctrine, as you all know. They exercise their wills. They come down and try to get everybody to get into all kinds of sin, like fornication, masturbation, lying, stealing, and all killing and everything else. They exercise their wills. Well, not really. They can, but most likely when they come down to execute the will of Satan. But they have some little special wills of their own. They can demonstrate in terms, like I said, they're smarter than mankind. They have emotions. They get upset when somebody mentions the name of Jesus, and they tremble. They recognize Jesus. I guess so. They used to live up there with him. They have supernatural strength. We know angels have supernatural strength. And they have supernatural presence. They can be anywhere in a second. They are eternal. Why I say eternal? Because we know spirits are not, don't experience death. It's like when we pass from this earth and go to be with the Lord, we leave our earthly body down on the bed, on the floor, in the bathtub, or at the lake, wherever we drown or got killed. and bears our spirit depart our body immediately after that. I guess one of God's angels would dispatch us right into the presence of God. And where he says, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. He may say, welcome home, my son, into the kingdom that I have prepared for you. Welcome home. They have their crazy doctrines. They tell you stuff about, we have this written word, there's no such thing as tongues. Tongues have seeds. And when you look at the Bible, it didn't say tongue has seeds. It says tongues will. I looked at every version in the Bible. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. It says prophecy will cease, tongues will cease, and knowledge. And the devil pick on tongues. You don't ever hear anybody, have you heard? Tongues have ceased, you ignoramus, you stupid joker. Tongue has ceased. And I go, look at all the versions. Look at King James, New King James, and the New International Version, and so forth. The New Living Bible, look at all that. And all you see is tongues will cease, shall cease. Both are present tense. I even talked to my English teacher. When I called back, I said, you know what? Everybody talking about tongue has. I said, look at that, professor. I said, John. And then he gave me a book on English grammar, all kinds of, I mean, it was a heavyweight thing. It was like a telephone book. And I think in about 5 pages on what shall mean and what shall and the difference between shall and will and has. And, you know, and it's simple. Tongues has, that's past tense. But he said, you look at the verse, that's the thing, John. You see, it says tongues will. A will is present tense. It's not past tense. That's the devil just tricking them right quick. When you speak in a tongue and some of them get mad and I get, you dumb sucker. Don't you dumb. You tongue has ceased, boy. Tongue has ceased, you dumb ass. And that's the way they be cussing at us and be talking to us. And I say, look at the Bible. And they go, oh, Lord. And they look at us and see. I say, the reason we still got tongues and the rest of it is because we're not perfect yet. Verse 10 says, when that which is perfect comes, then tongues will see, prophecy will see. Prophecy just means God speaking to the Holy Spirit to a pastor. And we're like, he's preaching, and the Lord might want to give the pastor some additional stuff he can say to his congregation. And before you know it, the Lord or the Holy Spirit will speak to that preacher's mind and give him thoughts. Hey, I ain't thought of that. Boy, I started thinking that's his thoughts. That's the Holy Spirit's thought. And he'd be speaking with the like what the Lord wanted to say, like the prophets in the old days. Every time the prophets get ready to speak, he said, thus says the Lord. Or they speak first. And then they end up by saying, thus says the word of God. Thus, they say, I'm not getting the credit. What I just said, that wasn't in my mind. That just shot in there. That was God. They'll tell you right quick. Thus says the word of God. They're not going to claim none of no glory from God, kind of a thing, you see. So I said, but thank you, Lord. See, the Lord had to show me that because I never accepted. I heard that the 20 years I was a Methodist and the 25 years I was a Baptist. You know, when I was raised a Methodist, and then when I got grown and came here to Atlanta, you know, I met a Baptist wife, married her, and, you know, and so I've been a Baptist for like 20 years, been a deacon and all that stuff, head of the deacon board, and then I became assistant pastor, you know, kind of a thing. But all that time, I was taught, we have a certain word, but I felt uncomfortable. And then God says, then I prayed about it. I said, God, you got to tell me, I don't know, I don't have no peace. That's what they all say. God said, because that's not the truth, my son. That's an error. He says, that which is perfect come means me. And nothing else perfect but me. And that verse 9 says, when that which is perfect come, then it will cease. Because right now, you look at verse 10 and it says, everything, we're just getting things in half spell. We don't know everything. And when we preach and teach and everything else, we don't know the Bible authority and teach it like he really wants us to, that one who can follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So God says, it'll stop when I come back, and then I can reveal full knowledge. And you don't need tongues anymore because tongues are used when the Holy Spirit is going to give the message to the congregation and have the pastor to speak. The pastor may say, hold up, let's say the benediction. Then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit say, hold up, I got to say something. Oh, okay, Lord. And he goes, Shikatinaka. And then I go, now, Lord, you have me speaking tongues. Now, you didn't give me interpretation tongue. Now, what did I just say? And then all of a sudden, the Lord said, oh, you see in a moment. Then somebody raised a hand in the congregation. It could be the choir director. It could be the janitor. It could be a dear, devoted sweetheart in your church. And say, Lord, Pastor, the Lord gave me the interpretation. And when he gives the interpretation, he's giving it to two different people. So when one say it, the other one can check and say, that's right, he didn't lie. Because, Lord, the Holy Spirit gave me the same interpretation with the pastor said. See, that kind of a thing. But it says tongue has. It didn't say tongue. I mean, tongues will, not has. So the attributes of demons. All right, I talk about the attributes of angels, but how holy they are, they're smarter than mankind, and we're going to judge them someday. Well, the attributes of demons, let me slow down. I get excited. Sometimes I be going like a machine gun. Let me slow down. All right. Attributes of demons. They are spirits. They can speak. They believe. They exercise their wills. They demonstrate intelligence. Well, yeah, like I said, they're smarter than mankind. They have emotions. They recognize Jesus. They have supernatural strength. They have supernatural presence. They are eternal. They don't die because they live forever. They have their own doctrine. Tongues have ceased and all this stuff. They are evil. They can tempt. They can deceive. Deceive. They have twisted the doctrine all kinds of ways. And they can oppress. And they can bring the bondage of fear. And God says, I want you to be able to hear my spirit, because when the demons come against you and everything else, you would know exactly what they're saying, or your thoughts come in your head is you are the devil. Then the Lord, then God reminded me and says, now let me tell you something, John. When you think of something, when you're looking at the Bible reading, are you just relaxing and some thought comes in and says, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. Do you know this ain't true? Do you know this is false? I can't believe this. He said, you got to remember this, my son. Just because you're thinking it don't mean you. And I go, huh? This is what you're thinking. It's not you. Who do you mean? It says, that's the battleground. Like we want to fight Russia and Germany and all that. Where we go? We go over to their, we go into their home ground. They don't come over here and fight us. We go over there. He said, that's how the devil fight. The devil battlefield is our mind. When thoughts come into our head. That's one way. That's the primary way he get us. You'd be thinking, man, I'm sorry I kind of got saved. Man, I sure hate to give up them cigarettes. Give up my liquor, give up them girls. Man, God, dog, man. You know, this kind of a thing. And so God said, that ain't you. You know the word of God. You got God, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not fornicate. A man shall not go to bed with another man. A woman shall go. And them thoughts come into her. Man, she sure looks lusty. Man, that man got a fine-looking booty there. I want some of that kind of a thing. Well, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's either your flesh. That is the devil tempting you. That's all it is. And sometimes say, how can you tell when God's speaking to you? You know, say, when things go off track and you think about everything that's nasty and trickery and deceiving and everything else, you know it's not you, unless the flesh just got more power than the godly power, which I doubt very seriously. But we have a habit of listening to our manly or woman thoughts. We listen at our fleshly thoughts. That kind of thing, and look at demonic thoughts instead of rationalizing and say, wait a minute, that's not God, because what this thought just came into my mind is not holy, it's not of the gospel. Then you know that's demonic. Either one of two things. Either it's demonic or it's the flesh. Because the flesh say, I got feelings myself, you know, how you, man, I'm used to doing this and doing that kind of a thing. So just remember, no matter what comes into your mind, it's either the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or it's the devil, or it's the flesh of the world. One out of four or five, okay? And then you know. How do you know when God's speaking to you? How do you know it's him who's speaking? Or if you know the word, you won't have any problem. Just tell who's talking to you. You can say, it's either my horny flesh, or it's the devil. You know, one out of two kind of a thing. So just remember, when the thought comes to do something, and you question it, go, wait a minute. You backpedal, wait a minute. And then you go, no. I was going over to beat that guy's butt. I was going to do some shoplifting today. I was going to go over there and get a little peace behind my wife back, or husband back, because he found everything. Said, no, that's not you. That's the Holy Spirit. And then God wants me to tell you guys this, and women this. When you do things like that, you know, when you personally accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, And that's when the Holy Spirit comes and take up residence in you. And the Bible says, the body is the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. The Lord says, let me tell you something. The moment you sneak behind this man or this woman, your wife or your husband, shoplift, lust, masturbate, do all these other kinds of things, he says, the Holy Spirit's gone. The Lord said, tell you, the Holy Spirit is gone. Your body's not the temple of the Holy Spirit no more. The Holy Spirit ain't going to stay in your body while you're screwing and lying and killing and stabbing and backstabbing and all these other kinds of Holy Spirit gone. Spirit only dwells in a holy temple. That's what God wants me to tell you. So I gave you the characteristics of angels and then demons. Now let me tell you what his gang is made of, talking about Satan. He have all kinds of demons. all kinds, all stats. One is called principalities. Now, that's the top, top, top demon. And the word principality comes from the Greek word meaning archimia, which literally translated means first in rank and in order. So principality means first in rank and first in order. That's the top demon. Principalities derive their power directly from who? Of course, Satan. The highest ranking entities in Satan's army is called principalities. They get their orders strictly from Satan. None of the other demons and none of the other ranks, you know, like you got captains and sergeants and all this kind of stuff. Then the second highest demon is called powers. Next to the chain of command, we find powers. And what they do, they are demon spirits that drive their jurisdictional and delegated authority from who? From principalities. Like I say, principalities the top one, and then powers the second one. The powers get their orders and direction from the principalities. They can affect structures. They can affect five pillars of our society. Well, you say, what is the five pillars, Brother John? Well, this is how they can mess it up. The five pillars are one, marriage, two, family situation, three, the government, four, the education, and five, the church. Like some man, that pastor don't know what he's talking about. He's stupid. Who we think he is, he don't tell us what to do. We the deacons. Well, the deacon's supposed to do what the pastor do, but you got women in the church, you got the little clubs in church, they're all trying to tell the pastor what to do. And the Lord said, I did not ordain the sister or the brother or the deacons. They don't tell you what to do. My pastor, I call you into the ministry. You are the head of that church. You are the one supposed to guide and direct that church. Sure, I'll give them to you to assist you, but they don't tell you what to do. You understand? You the boss, in other words. You have them to give you help because some smart and sharp and everything else, they can assist you in the goal that you have that God gave you to do. But you don't supposed to walk around and tell me, yes, sir, deacon. Okay, deacon, whatever you say, deacon, kind of a thing. All right. Then you got rulers of the darkness of this world. They are spirits of very high-ranking officers. They are responsible for blinding the minds of people to truth. In other words, there ain't no Trinity, just God. God is not a father. It's just God. God ain't got no son. Anywhere in the Bible say he's married, huh? When did it say his wife had the baby? 6 months, 7 months, They're responsible for binding the minds of people to the truth. In other words, Jesus, like the Jews. There are some now, but the Jews don't believe in Jesus. They think he was just a sort of like an evangelist, a little good shoes. But he was not the son of God, because God ain't been married. God ain't laid down there and gave some woman a baby. You know, that's where they think. They're responsible for blinding the minds of people to truth, for facilitating sin, wickedness, and inquiry within the nations of the world. That's what they do. They cover their minds with number darkness. In other words, just teach false doctrine to them, kind of a thing. Then you have, what else you have? You have, some are called, like I say, principalities and powers. And some of them, the lower levels, they're called devils and demons. And demons mean distributor of fortunes. In other words, a demon or devil is a supernatural spirit that possesses the nature of Satan and has the ability to give and distribute fortunes and possess man. They control the mind. Here we go. They control the mind, sets, and activities. And devils can be worshipped. They make people sick. They can communicate. And they can involve themselves in a host of other biological activities. And then you have demons called spirits of the underworld. These spirits work with high witchcraft operation. As mentioned before, the underworld has six regions, you know, and it got six regions. It's called death, hell, and the grave, and the pit, and the abyss, and something like that. Then you got, now this is strange when I first learned this one. Some demons are called spirit birds. So you remember when Noah sent out the dove who returned with an olive branch? Or when God used a bird to bring food to Elijah and the prophet, well, Satan also has spirit birds at his disposal, and only they are unclean and hateful. Then you have, now, I'm not going to give them all. I'm talking about just two more types of demons there are. You got one that's called familiar spirits. I know some can make you sick, some can make you lie and everything else, but this is the one you need to fear. It's called familiar spirits. we can encounter familiar spirits who work for Satan. Boy, you're going to be surprised if I tell you what they do. Here we go. They are like reconnaissance teams. You know, reconnaissance, like when you're in the military and when you go in to fight Russia or Germany, they send a reconnaissance team to go ahead of the whole gang so they can see if they got a chance of winning and see what kind of weapons they use to check them out and everything like that. So you got angels, regular familiar spirits. They're like, they do reconnaissance. They go and check it out before the rest of the demons come in. Their job is to, listen, y'all, their job is to spy and take reports back to headquarters. And, you know, that's back to headquarters. You're talking about Satan. Back to headquarters, okay? Spirits are demonic agents whose main assignments are to become well acquainted with a person or a group of people. So, in other words, that demon following you around wherever you go so he can check out, find out, oh, he's weak at this. He loves to play with himself. He loves to lie. He loves to lust after the women. She loves to lust after the men. She loves alcohol. And when nobody's looking, she can inject smoke some weed, inject her veins with some kind of stuff. That's what she does. Then when he go after you and watch a couple of times to the satisfaction, you go back, hey, Satan, you know, brother so-and-so, the sister so-and-so, the reverend so-and-so, the deacon so-and-so, a chaplain so-and-so, yeah, tell you what their weakness is. Oh, yeah. And say the weakness is, say, this man like men. He's a homosexual somehow. And then Satan will get one of those demons that specialize in that particular fault and hound that guy to death. And you, I don't know why I can't stop thinking. And when I look at that man, I just drool and I see him walk around with that butt. Look at that butt. Golly. You know, and all that kind of stuff. And to look at that woman. She's like, and then, hey, I'm taking up collection. One deacon, I'm taking up collection. And some people don't write checks all the time. Some people put $50 bills, $20 bills in the pastor don't know. So, heck, the deacon just grabbed $20 bill out of the, before he go back upstairs to count all the money. He done took out about $50 or $60. You know, maybe the sister gave two $20 bills. He'd take one of them. She might give a $50 bill. Well, he might take 25 and just 25 out of somebody else changed, and that's how they work, kind of a thing. You can think of all kinds of things going on. He may put hatred against the pastor. I don't like him. He thinks he all that. He's stupid. He's dumb. He don't speak well. I don't like him. He's fine. Child, I like to go to bed with him. These kinds of thoughts and stuff like that. And then the familiar go back to you and say, hey, guess what? You know Pastor so-and-so? Do you know Deacon so-and-so? Do you know the congressman so-and-so? He liked this. And so Satan was assign one of the demons that specialize in that sin and assign them to that person. And before you know it, the person really hooked. And they keep doing it, can't stop, and then they get possessed. When you get possessed with a demon, something you say, I'm quit smoking. I'm quit doing this. But you can't. You keep saying, I'm going to quit this time. I'm going to quit. Well, the reason that you can't quit is because you have messed around and let a demon enter you. And sometimes demon lets you get into Ouija boards and all kind of, you read these charts and stuff telling you what's going to happen to you today and what you should do and what you didn't do. That's opening yourself up in demonic possession. So that's what a familiar spirit does. He shortcut says he know your hot spots. These demons know which buttons to push. They know your weaknesses. They know your strengths. They know your likes and your dislikes. They know your passions. They know your pet peeves. What gets you going, sets you, what distracts you, your desires, your ambitions. And everything, folks, everything. Familiar spirits have three different assignments. They have geographical assignments. You know, they go somewhere, go into this area, go to Germany, go to Russia, go to Japan, whatever. They have cultural assignments. They're assigned to different races and all stuff. Plain old white folks, African Americans, you know, whatever, Chinese, whatever, Spanish, whatever. And you got those assigned to each one of those cultures, so and then they teach them the wrong era. They find out what they're weak and what they like to do, and then they assign a special demon to that person who specializes in that area that just turns that person on. Okay? All right. Familiar spirits act as informants to a larger network. So when they learn, sometimes instead of just going to Satan, they may go to one of the principalities, one of the powers, say, guess what I found out about Jody? What? He does this. He likes this. He do this, all that. You know, so. Okay, thank you. And then they would then they would hamper that guy to death, that he'd go back into it, because you see, he always think about it. He said, well, we know how to get it. We have him thinking about it all the time. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about the cigarette. I don't know why I can't stop thinking about that man. I can't think of why I want to be rich. I can't think why I want to tear that pastor down. I don't know why. I think I'm better than him. I speak better than him. I don't know. Seeing these kinds of things. And that's the devil know that's your thoughts. He put them thoughts into you. He know that's what you want somewhat, maybe not entirely, but he know that you wish you can have that job, or you wish you can have that much money, or you wish you can have that woman, and he'll have you thinking those thoughts over and over till you come up with all kinds of schemes till you can bring it to pass. Those are familiar spirits, something else. Then you have unclean spirits. And the unclean spirits are, they do everything that's lewd and promiscuous and kind of thing, immoral activities. That's the kind of stuff they do. Then you have evil spirits. Satan commands vicious and malicious spirits. They are responsible for promoting terrible, dehumanized conditions. And then I'm going to tell you about the last three, and then I want to go into the specifics about, all right, this is what's happening in the kingdom of God. And this is what happened in the kingdom of Satan. I talk about what the kind of people they do, what they like, what they don't like, and the different kingdoms and stuff like that. And then I'll come to a close. What time is it? 9:22. Okay. So here we go. The last three I want to talk about, those spirits. I say they just how they operate. You got demons of various natures and operate as spirits of, here we go, y'all. You have spirits who, spirits of infirmity, you know, that being called sickness. You have seducing spirits that cause you to go into all the sexual perversions and everything else. And then an unclean spirits. Okay. And then you have Satan using them to war against man and body and soul and spirit. Now, 1, 2, 3, the three primary ones, spirit, seducing spirit, unclean spirit. Well, it's four. I've already talked about one, the familiar spirit. But you got one called the spirits of infirmity. These are spirits that afflict the bodies of believers as well as unbelievers. I don't know why I'm always sick. I just can't believe it. Well, if you a godly woman, a man, you know, the Holy Spirit ain't gonna let nobody touch you. But now when you hanky panky, one Sunday you holy, and on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday you whirly. Then the devil say, I got something to play with here. Spirit of infirmity. I don't know why I'm always sick. I don't know. Every time I turn around, I got to go. I always get these chest pains. I sprain my ankle. I can't understand why I'm sick. My mom and daddy, and I'm always sick. When how come my sister? But that's because the devil said you gave that devil an opening. See? You have demon of various natures. Spirits of infirmity, that's sickness. They dig this. Then you got some operating seducing spirits. What the seducing spirit is, Brother John? Well, these spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies. And that's when I said, they got most every preacher on this one about tongues that cease. And when you look at the Bible, the devil's slick. It got three things in there. Got prophecy, tongues, and knowledge. Why the devil go around talking about, are you dumb sucker? Have you heard? Knowledge has ceased. They know they sound like a fool. Knowledge has ceased, and everybody know how much knowledge mankind gained since Jesus left in the first century. You tell me, look at all the schools we have, the hospitals, look at all the different kinds of surgeries we have. Look at all the advancements we made, all the different types of medication, buildings, and all this other kind of stuff. Are you fool? Talking about knowledge has ceased? See, the devil's slick. The devil have y'all focusing on tongues. It's three things. It says, verse 8, 9, and 10, it says, prophecy has ceased. Well, prophecy, that's God in the spirit speak to a pastor in the passage. All of a sudden he about to close and all these thoughts come to the head and say, there's something else I want to say. Blah, 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 blah. What he's doing, he's speaking prophecy like, thus says the Lord God. See, sometimes he thinks his thoughts, but that's the Holy Spirit using his mind to get a message to the congregation. Say, man, I don't know where I got that from. That just came out of nowhere. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through you. That's prophecy, see? Thus says the Lord. Every time those guys in the Old Testament speak, they say, thus says the Lord God, because they know that ain't them. You know, they ain't been to no school. And just like Paul and And you had Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They ain't been no theology school, but who did God use to write the Bible? Huh? Them. And they had one, they just had high school diplomas. They didn't have no doctorate degree and master's degrees. Jesus taught them personally in the Holy Spirit, you see. So that's how it is. God don't care whether you're a triple crown, quadruple crown bishop. He just wants you to be a holy, righteous person. That's all he's looking for. Because when you be judged, he ain't going to want to know how many degrees you got. He's going to say, did you obey my commandments? He ain't got to ask you already to know. He can tell you in a second how many things you did wrong, left and right. When, where, how much it cost, the whole nine yards. You can't prove God because God's everywhere. See? So you got the spirit of infirmity, but it causes all kinds of sickness, and you got seducing spirits, and these spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrinal lies. You know, like I said about tongue has ceased and a whole bunch of other stuff, and be condemned to eternal punishment. They are spirits of false doctrine, y'all. False doctrine. False. All he wants is us. Spiritual man and woman. That's who he died for. He ain't died for no jitterbug to be, yes, praise the Lord, my sister, on Sunday, and then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come in, baby. Come in, boy, with your fine self. Man, that money look good, you know, and cheating, taking money out the office, stuff like that. First of all, like I said, God said to tell you, his Holy Spirit gone. You're not a temple of the Holy Spirit no more. And then when you die unexpectedly, a heart attack, or by an automobile accident, that angel will come to that car, drag your spirit out of your body, take you up there, and then Jesus said, depart from me. You work of a nigga. I repent now, Lord. I'm sorry, but you don't repent on this side. You repent on before you die, not after you die. I died for you. I got beat like hell for you. I got disfigured for you. They lashed me 39 times for you. And what do? You go around doing this and that. So everything you've been doing. In other words, my death was in vain. If it was coming to you. Get out of my face. And then say, you're mad now. Come on. And you tell me, oh, no, help me. And then that devil say, come on. Let me show you your eternal home and throw you down there in the abyss. No more getting out. Speaking about that, I want to think about that. Maybe that's the Lord want me to say that. It just popped in my mind. All right. A lot of people say there's no such place as hell. When a man is dead, he's dead. That's all. His spirit dead and his body dead. Well, we know the Bible. That's not true. We know that you go into one or two places. But one person I know spiritually had that experience when Brother Emmett was thinking about committing suicide. And he called the prayer line to tell him to pray for him that he'd be successful because he tried to kill himself three times and just so happened. I've been the counselor on duty that night. And I answered the phone. I said, TBN, Trinity Broadcast Network, help me. I pray for you, sir, ma'am. And Brother Emmett told me, hey, listen here, buddy. You one of them preachers? I say, yes, sir. And he says, look here. I'm a gangster, and I'm tired of living as a gangster. I ain't got no life and everything. The wife done left me and everything. And I don't have no reason to live. The gangster done kicked me out because they think I'm telling the police everything they playing. And I ain't telling no police nothing. I don't know. And then I knew the Lord was doing. The Lord put that thought in their mind so they can get rid of Emmett. And then Emmett would leave them and get in the place where he can get saved. He told them, they think I'm squealing on them, man. They told him if I come back there, they kill me, man. You know, because I'm one of the top gangsters. But I'm a solo gangster. I do it myself. I don't hang around no gang. I do my stuff alone, you know, because I'm intelligent and kind of thing. I said, what do you do? He said, man, I took the gun, tried to shoot myself three times. The gun wouldn't go off. So I said, well, what's funny about that? He said, I've been in the military, man. He says, I was a Navy SEAL. I said, that's the best they come. They top Marines, Air Force, and all of them. They're number one defense. And he said, that's right. He said, I jump out of airplanes, miles high up in the sky, and I can take a gun. We had to take all kinds of guns and strip them apart. And then they blindfold us, and we had to put them guns back together, or we can get kicked out. You know, I said, really? You've been a Navy SEAL? Yeah, I know all weapons. I know them like I know one and one is two. I can do them all blind. I can take them apart, put them back together, blindfolded. I said, dog. He said, well, I said, what's the matter? I just can't kill myself. I've been trying. I said, well, what you doing? He said, well, I took the gun. Now, you know, I'm a master gun dog. And I put the gun to my head sitting in the kitchen, pulled the trigger, and the doggone thing wouldn't go off. I said, really? Yeah. He said, then I try again. And I pulled it. I looked at the bullets went out, pulled the trigger, the gun wouldn't go off. Then that third time, something wrong. I don't know where it is. And then when he said that to me, I said, Lord, said, I got him. I got him. He's mine. I got a purpose for his life. you know. So I say, Mister, you know, God, I didn't ask you to give me no preaching. I said, pray that I be successful. I said, that ain't all I got to say. I said, what else you got to say? He said, I tried to gas myself. So what do you mean? He said, I turned the kitchen stove on, stuck my head in the oven, turned the thing on, and as soon as I was about to pass out from all that gas, somebody rang the doorbell. So I turned the gas stove off, go to the door. Nobody there would open the door. I said, oh, yeah. And God said, that was me. So I said, really? Yeah. He said, I did it three times. Each time when I was about to pass out, the doorbell rang, I go to the door, open the door, nobody there, but the phone, but the doorbell going ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. I said, sir, I know you're going to think I'm crazy what I'm about to say. That's the Lord dealing with you. I said, what do you mean? I said, he got a purpose and plan for your life. Didn't you once you were saved? Yeah. I was saved when I was 16, 17, 18, and 19 until I went into the service, but I got, you know, in the wrong crowd and everything else, and then I never went back. I said, oh, so you were saved. He said, the Lord got a plan for your life. He said, really, Mr. John? I said, yeah. And then I told him, I gave him all the scriptures. I just spit it out about salvation. And then he ended up accepting Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And then he had nowhere to go. His wife left too because she was in danger of living with him because other big-time gangsters knew what he was doing. He was trying to come in his house and rob him and kill him and all that stuff. And then his wife couldn't hardly sleep, so she got tired. I said, she said, I'm going. I'm out of here. Bye. You know, kind of a thing. So he says, and I don't have nowhere to go. I lost all my friends, and my wife took all my money and everything. I said, really? Yeah, all gone, man. I had several thousand in there. And, she, and when I was away on a little trip, pushing some dope and stuff, she took all the money out of the bank, mine and hers. So I got stuck with him. He said, can I stay with you a little while? I said, okay. And he'd come. He'd be to work there. I'd take him to work with me. He'd sit there next to me, and I'd never get anything done. And to shorten the story, finally God said, John, buy him a Bible. I took him up the street to a Berean bookstore and bought him a Bible. He sat in my assistant pastor's, assistant chaplain's office. I had a vacancy at the time. And he'd sit there and he read that Bible. He just sat there and just asked me questions. Finally, the Lord said, buy him a Bible. So I went up the street, bought him a Bible, came back here, and he read that Bible from 9 in the morning to 5, 6 in the afternoon. We got to go home. Kind of thing. He did that week after week after week. And then finally, he came screaming in my office, Buzz John, you know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. You know what he said to me? He said, my name is Jesus Nazareth. I will teach you my word. And to make a long story short, God taught him the gospel left and right, like he taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when God taught him things, God would put it into his spirit so he can't forget. He said, now, what did I learn today? He didn't have to say that. And what do you mean by, baptism? What do you mean by, you know, communion? What do you mean by, the Holy Spirit tell him? It'd be in his mind. He can remember the things. He has a remarkable memory because God gave him that ability. And so, and then God said, tell John to ordain you. Well, he went to his pastor, the old one he used to go to when he was a teenager. The pastor, get out of here, man. You're a gangster. No, you ain't been to no school. You ain't finished college or nothing. No, then you go to John. Then you over there be hanging with John at the hospital. Say, well, go to John. Tell John. And so he came to me. I said, you want me to do what? He said, ordain me. I said, I can't ordain you, man. You're not a theologian. You ain't, man, you haven't finished college. You got 1 year of college. And the Lord said, I'll pray about it. And then the Lord convinced me that I should. I'm glad I did. I ordained him. And then I taught him everything I knew about the chaplaincy. And he used to go from room to me, and he'd be prophesying to those people. He'd tell the people what their name was before the interview. She said, I know what your name is. And I said, how you know? He said, Lord just told me. He'd tell a lady, she tried to commit suicide before she even did. He would tell a lady what the children's names were and everything, how many children they had and everything else. He was hearing the Lord. And then the ultimate thing, the Lord took him down to hell, came in his room one night and said, Emmett, come here. And Emmett looked up and sat in bed and saw the Lord. And then his body, you know, his spirit came out of his body. He looked back and saw his body laying in the bed. God took him down to hell, and showed him what hell was like, showed him all the different ministers and evangelists and Christian teachers and everybody who's teaching theology and stuff like that. And showing that over the door, it's called the halls of theology. That's the special prison, you know, like you got. See, the prison is wide. Say it's about 20 million football fields. Well, there's one of them football fields that's strictly for ministers and evangelists and choir directors and all those who had some kind of job with respect to religion, you know, kind of a thing. Well, it showed right on the door, up on the top of the gate, it showed the year they died. Say, 102, the year 918, the year 1900. 1932, 1950, 1960, and had the age, the year they died. And they were all dressed in robes, and they were all practicing their preaching. And Emmett said, Lord Jesus, what are they doing? He said, oh, they're practicing their sermon for Satan. Satan go around each cage, and they have to sermonize, have to preach a sermon to Satan. I said, really? He said, yeah. He cried, boy. He said, John. I said, I'll show you. He said, oh, you don't want to go down there, man. That was terrible, John. I screamed. I said, Lord, don't never take me down there. Because, I mean, there's flames. You see people with all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases and everything else. He said, pitch black dog. You can put your hand in front of your face and you can't even see your hand. I mean, he elaborated on that thing. I said, my Lord. And God took him and showed him. Because why? Because that's his primary ministry, deliverance. He has to believe in demons. How he's going to be an exorcist and how he's going to teach and minister deliverance if he don't know, if he don't halfway believe in himself. So God took him down to hell and showed him. And God told him everything. God had angels, I mean demons, to come in his bedroom and sit in the bed and sit up. And you sit up and demons come in his room and go out one side of the wall and go out the other side. And God said, that's a homosexual demon. That's a lying demon. That's a stealing demon. That's a killer demon. And all kinds, hundreds of it. And they all marched through that whole night going in from one wall right on out the other. And God put in the spirit. So when he see those things, he know what kind it is. He don't say, what kind of spirit you? He know, because God taught him personally, kind of a thing. I didn't mean it. So that's how it is. I had to say that because hell is real, y'all, and demons are real. So then you had spirits of infirmity, seducing spirits. They have you do all kind of the doctrinal lies and stuff like that. And then it come now, pride comes before the fall. And see, and now spirits have got men going around now talking about I'm a triple crown bishop. Ain't nothing but no triple crown bishop. I hate to say that, but God, I got to do what the Lord say. Ain't no such thing in the Bible talking about triple crown bishop. But that's pride. Look at me. And then one guy called us up, wanted us to participate. And I said, what you going? I'm a quadruple bishop. I said, Lord have mercy. Devil, you go to hell. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Got these guys around here trying to be prideful like Satan. I'm going to be like God. I want attention. I want to be important. I want to be famous. I want power. I want prestige. And that ain't nothing but the devil. The pride come before fall. Lord have mercy. But you know, I don't mean to put nobody down. But I got to say, well, guess what? God got me doing. I know what I'll be doing. I'm doing here. I am, 80 years old? My God, man, I thought I'd be with the Lord by now with my mom and my daddy. And I'm down here not talking about demons at the age of 80. Preacher, Lord have mercy. Then you have spirits of infirmity, seducing spirits, unclean spirits. That's the third one. This is the last one. Unclean spirits. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts. They're responsible for unclean thoughts. And they are responsible for temptation and other strategies of Satan used to bind men and women. When Satan controls individuals with unclean spirits, he can also operate in their homes, in their and entice nations and so forth. Can you imagine unclean? You might have a deacon. You might have one a high authority position person in your church, and every time they're backstabbing you, always undermining you and everything else, that person got a devil in them, and God trying to destroy your church. That's all it is. You see? Then you might have a system passed on. Talk, backstab you so they can get your jobs at the church and fire you, side with the deacons, and they be talking about how they can get rid of, because I remember the deacons got with me one time, we don't want him no more, he's too old. I said, well, how old is he? He's 75, we don't like him no more. And I went home and prayed, I said, Lord, did you hear? I said, I heard. He said, you tell the pastor. I said, then they're going to say I'm they don't hate me. Why did you tell the pastor so-and-so, this kind of thing? And then the whole 15 deacon board members would hit my guts and everything else. And then the thing came out, who do you fear, man or God? That's all he had to say. Who do you fear, man or God? A lot of people do things wrong, but they know it's wrong, but they're scared. Their buddies will put them down and all this other kind of stuff. And anything about fearing God, okay? So, heaven has a place for theologians. It's called the halls of theology. That's that, and it has thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who was in the theology field, like preachers, Christian teachers, choir directors, professional choir, religious singers, Sunday school teachers, and all of them. That's the place where they go. It's called the halls of theology, and you know theology means God. the study of God. The halls of theology, that's a special place for every Christian person who is in some field. I don't care if it's a choir leader, a soloist, you know, making millions. I don't know. Just whatever field they're in with respect to religion, that's where they go when they die, because they know the word. They preach the word on Sunday and do hanky-panky Monday through Saturdays. And when they die, Jesus is going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity. And then the Satan be standing right there. Come on, let me show you where you're going to be forever. Come on. No! Come. And then you got to go, and you see that down there, take you down in hell, and you see the hall, and it's dark as heck, man. You can't even see your face. You can't even see the hand you put in front of your face. My brother Emmett spoke. He said, I held my hand in front of my face, and I couldn't see it, Brother John. It scared the hell out of me. I pooped and pooped and pooped, man. And God had to take me out of there. And God wanted me to take a second trip. I screamed out. And he said, I got on my knees. He said, Lord, please. No, I don't want to see no more. I saw enough. So God said, okay, all right. But God was willing to take me down there a second time. See? All right. So now, what time is it? 9:42. Okay, I think I've got about 15 more minutes. And what I want to do is break down the difference between the two kingdoms. One is called the kingdom of God, and the other one is called the kingdom of Satan. And I break it down in different categories. You have one I call it rulership. All right, who rules in the kingdom of God? Who's ruling in the kingdom of God? The rulership belongs to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God. Now, who rules the kingdom of Satan? Hold a minute. Back up. The kingdom of God, who rule? I should say it this way. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are God. One God, three persons. And it's called a theocracy. You know, instead of saying democracy and autocracy and all that, you know, you say theocracy. The kingdom of God, heaven is ruled by God. It just alternates between the three, kind of a thing. You got kingdom of Satan. Who rules in the kingdom of Satan? Nobody but Satan, y'all. The rulership, ruled by Satan. The kingdom of God is ruled by God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Kingdom of Satan, who rule? Nobody but Satan. All right? God rules. How does he? God rules sometimes. You know, you have to delegate responsibility and stuff like that. God rules through what? His son, Jesus. Now, look on the kingdom of Satan side. Who rules in the kingdom of Satan? Satan plus his assistants, which are demons. That's those top demons I was telling you about, you know, priorities and all the big boys. The big ones, not just the minor little demons and stuff like that, but the big boys. Them like in the military, how you got these sergeant majors and you got captains and generals and stuff like that. So Satan got all his assistants, and they mean as hell. Who rules? God rules. God, who assists God? His Son and the Holy Spirit. Who rules and who help Satan? Number those demons. All right. What are the characteristics? What are they like? Well, those who are in the kingdom of God, you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The character. Nothing but righteousness. Ain't nothing unholy coming in, getting in heaven, Bubba. You know, and this thing, everybody you know is going to be righteous and holy. Love the Lord more than anything else. And you're going, hey, oh, and then God said, you know what? You don't have to be introduced to nobody either. You can have Chinese, Japanese, Russians. I mean, every denomination, Hispanic, the whole nine yards. And then when somebody die and go to heaven, somehow the word get out who just made it in heaven, everybody knows. Because God can do a screen that say, I don't care, say billions of people up in heaven already. And when somebody die and in heaven, everybody look, and they know exactly who that person is. And when you walk, say this, for example, they're giving you an escort around here and stuff like that. They ain't got to say, oh, I want you to meet so-and-so, I want you to meet so-and-so, and I want you to meet. Ain't no way in the world you can walk around there and memorize 3 zillion people. This name is Sing Zong Zoom. This one is Kung Kung Poon. This one is John. This one here is Ronald. This one is Kakluka. And this one called Yachakoma. And this one, Dilupa. You know, all those different races. Ain't no way in the world you can remember. You would know as if they were living right next door to you. That's the kind of how spirit would be. Because God said we would be like him. So you can, when they take you a little scourge in the head when you get up there, you ain't got to be introduced to nobody. You'll know exactly. Say, I know who you are. You know, you're John. I know you are. That kind of a thing. You would know because we would have the mind of Christ. Because they know anywhere you sit down there with a tablet with 10 zillion names and you got to try to memorize the names with the face. Ain't no way. That's spiritual, Bubba. That's spiritual. Okay. Kingdom of God is God and is ruled by him and Jesus and Holy Spirit. The kingdom of Satan is ruled only by Satan. And none of the hot shots going to rule. God's rule through his son, like I said, and God's assistance is his demons. Our character, what they are righteous. Those people are righteous up there in heaven. They have peace and have joy in the what? In the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Hell is centered in the things of this world. Some people, I want to be famous, you know, I want to be rich. I want power. I want recognition. That's what I want. I don't want no righteousness. I want recognition and power. And then you got, kind of jump ahead, you got divine power. Now, guess what? The saints up there in hell, we got divine power. It didn't explain exactly what kind of divine power we have, but it says we have divine power. But over in the kingdom of Satan, guess what it says? The power they have, they can afflict people with disease. They can inflict people with sicknesses and slavery and deceptions, okay? Disease, sickness, slavery, deception, and prejudice, all that stuff. Then, still under character, you have those speak nothing but the truth, just righteous people. They're holy. And then on the kingdom of Satan side, you ain't got no truth and holiness. You got deception and slavery and sin and evil. You know what I'm saying? In the kingdom of Satan, you got people who just always deceiving you. Deceptive. Can't tell nothing but lies. Ain't no truth coming there. All you do is lie, which reminds me of one leader we used to have. Lie like I don't know what. Deception, slavery, sin, sinful, and evil. Always thinking evil. And on God's side, we are the people of light. And in the kingdom of Satan, the people of darkness. And then I got another one. It's called manifestation. In the kingdom of God, you have salvation. In the kingdom of Satan, what do you got? You ain't got salvation. You got destruction. In the kingdom of God, you got baptism in the Holy Spirit. In the kingdom of Satan, you got filled with the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world. I've got about, I don't know, 10, 12 books. Some God got me doing this, and I read all, buying all these books on demonology and stuff like that. But I buy the books of people I know that really know the Lord. I ain't talking about somebody who just a big-time theologian, don't know nothing, and all he doing just talk, speaking from his mind. A lot of these books, you got to be careful, because the people, a lot of these books, they're writing from their mind. When you write spiritual books, theology books like that, you don't fool sit there and go, oh, let me see what sounds good. No, yeah, this sounds good. And when it comes to writing spiritual books and novels and stuff like that, you ought to be sure that you check with the Holy Spirit and he will give you the truth, number of the truth. Sometimes your mind is fine, nothing wrong. But you always should check with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will keep you in track. Okay. So you in the kingdom, and you got salvation and baptism in the Holy Spirit. In the kingdom of Satan, all you got is destruction, lying, and people trying to beat each other out for recognition and all the other kind of stuff. And then you got the spirit of the world. All right, on the kingdom of on God's side, you got still talking about manifestation. You got miracles and driving out demons. In America, just around getting around to it, but you go into Africa and all these other foreign countries, these people been doing this for centuries. They'd be doing casting out demons every day in church service and stuff like that, people coming in possessed. So on God's side, kingdom, you have miracles and driving out demons. On the kingdom of Satan, they do counterfeit miracles. Be healed in the name of Jesus. He to heal. Sometimes the demons healing that person. And you got demon possession. So on God's side, you got saints. On the devil's side, all you got is liars and demon possession type folks and folks who don't want to know the truth. Then you got, you know, in the kingdom of God, you're talking about the manifestation, you got the presence of Jesus. But in the kingdom of Satan, you got the presence of evil spirits. Because evil spirit have you reading astrology sign. When you read astrology and all that stuff and mess with Ouija board, you open yourself up with demon possession. So in the kingdom of God, you have the presence of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Not on that, but in the kingdom of God, you got the presence of Jesus, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. But in the kingdom of Satan, you got the presence of Satan and demons and evil people, evil spirits. That's what you got walking around in heaven. That's the That's the dominion. Those are people who hang around in the kingdom of Satan. Can you imagine forever? You fellowshipping with fellow liars, fellow killers, fellow perverters, and all the fellow and evil spirits and all that stuff. And then in the kingdom of God, you got the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Remember I said you got the gift of healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation, tongues. You got all that. That's how you can fight the devil, because you can't fight the devil by trying to outsmart. You can't outsmart the devil. The devil's been around a million years before we got born. Okay? Gifts of the Spirit, tongues, interpretation, tongues, revelation, knowledge. What's the other one? I can't think of all of them right now. But that's how we fight the devil, with the gifts of the Spirit. It's like when you get to cast out the Spirit, that's another story. Be sure that you can hear the Holy Spirit. You don't call yourself and cast out the Spirit, you evil spirit, and you don't hear God or the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's the one that directs. He speaks to you. You hear these thoughts coming, you say, do this, say this, don't do this, say this, say this. That demon name is so and so and so. That demon do this. This can hurt you if you do this. And the Holy Spirit will be telling you everything. You see? Don't give it like some pastor. No, come out, name of Jesus. I am Dr. So-and-so. I graduated from such and such a university. I have 2 doctor's degrees. Come out. And a demon say, you say one more word to me, I'll have you behind, boy. You heard what I said. I said, I have doctor's degrees, and I'm a triple crown bishop. And that demon stripping butt naked. We got some people who are listening tonight, listening at that stuff, and saw with their own eyes when the demon jacked the minister up in the top of the ceiling in the church and strip up all his clothes and put it around a pole up his behind. The demon did it. That's like, I got something listening tonight. Who listen? I never believe it, Brother John, if I haven't seen that myself. And a lot of folks, every night when I'm teaching, every Tuesday, it's always, I'm here because I saw it, Brother John. This our pastor got there talking about, come out in the name of Jesus. And that demon said, you can't tell me what to do. You got the same spirit I got. You ain't nothing but a whoremonger. You know, you say something else to me, I'll have your behind. Oh, you don't know who I am, Dr. So-and-so. Whip. And in a second, the demon had that pastor up in the air, or that deacon up in there butt naked, and then they see poles floating through the air coming from the back of the church somewhere, and see the poles ramming up those people's behind. They see with their own eyes. I never believed it. I saw it. They see broom handles, mop handles, plungers, and all floating through the air, and somebody is carrying it, but they can't see that somebody. It's the demon doing that. And then they bend that Passover and ram them plungers up there behind. Plungers and broom handles and everything else. They've seen it. We got some of this night has actually seen it. They call and say, Brother John, I want to learn about deliverance. I ain't never believed that since I saw it last night. See, that kind of a thing. So you have the gift of the Spirit. That's how we can fight demons. And then you have, and the kind of clientele you have in the kingdom of Satan, you have sorcerers. See, we have the gift of the Spirit. Tongues, interpretation, tongue, healing, miracles, prophecy, and all that stuff. What the devil got, the people got to help them fight, because they get involved with sorcery, witchcraft, drug account activity, you know, and Ouija boards and all that other kind of stuff. Okay, let me see, what time is it? Okay, I got about 10 more minutes. You got, in the kingdom of God, you got unforgiveness. Anybody who's going to get in there, they have to repent of all their sins and ask God for their forgiveness. But over how to get into hell, listen at this, y'all. Interest is all unregenerate humanity. In other words, you can be simple as hell. And you can be a good, nicey person who never did any harm, but you still have some closet crap up your sleeve. Listen again. Who gets into heaven? People who repent, ask God for forgiveness, and accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Who get into heaven? Do nothing. Just say all unregenerate humanity. That just a dude to go from bone all the way to he's 80, 90 years old and die. You go to church every Sunday and stuff like that, but never accepted Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. Then you got some who got one, who go to church every Sunday, but got one foot in hell and one foot in hell and one foot in heaven. One day or one week they're righteous, next day they're holy, unholy as hell, kind of a thing. So it is all unregenerate humanity. It's a humanity. I mean, every human being that's not 100% righteous and following God, but that's how they're going to enter into hell. Okay? All unregenerate fool God. You can't fool them one little bit. You can take $20 out of the offering plate, nobody knows, but God sees it, you know? He can see it a week before you do it. He can see it in the past, present, and the future all at the same time. That's power, boy. You can't hide. We can hide from our relatives, our spouses, and all that, but you can't hide from God. And you definitely can't hide from the Holy Spirit. And definitely you don't want the Holy Spirit to leave your body. The Holy Spirit said, no. I'm not hanging in here. This is a hypocrite. And Jesus said, I know you didn't tell me about that. And then that, the Holy Spirit go and dwell in somebody else who accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that dude walk around, yes, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hi, I just love the Lord. Mm-hmm. You wait till your spirit leaves your body, and that angel take you in the presence of Jesus and say, I died for you. I got disfigured for you. They beat the you-know-what out of me when I died. They beat me with 40 lashes, and you down there hanky-panky. And you in Sunday coming, praise the Lord, sister, praise the Lord, brother, and that kind of stuff. And the Holy Spirit done left your body, because the Holy Spirit ain't going to stay in no body that's involved with sex. They're all different kinds of sex. I don't care if it's homosexual, straight. Spirit ain't there no more. Well, you going to lay on top of this woman, lay on top of this man with the Holy Spirit in you? Lord have mercy. Man, I almost puked when the Lord told me that. I said, oh, my God, you know. confession of faith. You know, Jesus, my Lord. I believe he's the Son of God, and then there's the Holy Spirit, so forth. But over in the kingdom of Satan, I don't believe that crap. Ain't number one God. Ain't no God the Father, God the Son. I'm not stupid. And God, the Bible said God got married, did it? Huh? Who's his wife? Now, if he didn't have a wife, and then he had to screw somebody to have Jesus, and Jesus is not unholy, you know? So I just can't believe that Jesus God. I think he's just a righteous man, a good person like that. Because the Bible, ain't no way. I look at that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And it's something about God got married. And then he had a son named Jesus. And they sent him to school and trained him theology and stuff like that. Mm-mm. No. And then talking about went to a woman. And a woman, he ain't nobody screwed a woman. And she just got pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Ain't no Holy Ghost. That's Holy Ghost is just a it. It's not a him or her. Y'all stupid. That's what a lot of unbelief out there, folks. I ain't gonna believe till I know how God came to be. Now, I suppose sit down and go, in the beginning was God. Yeah, in the beginning was God. Well, who was in the beginning before God? There's some things we just don't need to know. Okay? All right? In the kingdom of heaven, you got people who was humility. Humility. And they have the new birth. They accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But in the kingdom of Satan, you don't have the new birth. You got spiritual death. Suckers think they go to church every Sunday, and Sunday school teachers and tithe and everything else. They are saints. They ain't saints. It's because you tithe every Sunday, go to church every Sunday, and your best suits and your best dress, whatever, that don't make you a Christian. You need to repent, ask Christ to come into your heart, be your Lord and Savior. You sitting there in the kingdom of God, you have the new birth. But in the kingdom of Satan, you have what you call spiritual death. They're alive as they can be. They're a good sense of humor and everything else. But spiritually dead and don't even know it. This is because they sound nice, they talk nice, never kill anybody, never cuss anybody out. You know, might do a little here and there, another little here and there, but just a little thing minor. It's not a big thing like killing somebody, you know. And so their spirits today don't know it. A person who has not accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and got the new birth experience, they are spiritually dead. They are alive physically and mentally. Yeah, man, what's happening? I'm 6'2". I wear this. Yeah, man, I'm the president of this company. But you know what? They may be successful and well physically, but spiritually they're dead. Their spirit is dead. Spiritually dead. Then you have, not only spiritually dead, but they're separated from God. God can't even fellowship with you. You're fellowshipping with the devil and don't even know it, you know, kind of a thing. What time is it? Oh, I started at, 8:30, 9:30, 10. It's time for me to come to a break. But anyway, kingdom of God, last one, they have eternal life. And in the kingdom of Satan, you have eternal death. They walk in light, another walk in darkness. One have eternal life. The other one have eternal death. And I want to close with that. I hope you enjoyed it. In kingdom of God, you got honesty and love and forgiveness and godly influence. But in the kingdom of Satan, all you have is sin. You have deceit. You have hatred and hostility. You have bitterness. And you have corrupting influence. all that. And then, and last one, Judas. They worship God. Under Judas, the people in heaven, they worship God. They hate sin and Satan. They seek to advance God's kingdom and his righteousness. But in hell, they commit idolatry. They're living for themselves. They worship Satan and the Antichrist. They hate. They persecute. They believe. They don't believe. They hate. And they follow Satan. They promote evil and corrupt God's kingdom. Right? They promote evil. And where it is in God's kingdom, they seek to advance God's kingdom and his righteousness. May God bless you. I still have a little more, but I'm running out of time now because I can just, I got a whole bunch of stuff about their powers and what kind of power they have and so forth. But God bless you, and I hope to be able to share with you again someday. Like I said, God bless you, and be blessed. Over and out. This is Brother John. Over and out. Bye-bye.